We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I don't know how many of you have ever set off on a nice weekend getaway to hear the symphony, enjoy some sights, and end up in police custody all over the news. In a situation that spiraled very quickly out of control. But you know what? That's just like the headline, and there's so much more to this story behind the scenes. Allegheny County Controller Chelsea Wagner, and from here on in, I'm just going to call you Chelsea Wagner.
Or Chelsea is great.
Or Chelsea, and her husband, Kahari Mosley. Join us now to kind of fill in some of the gaps, because there are gaps in the story that we've heard.
Sure. And if we may, just as we start, because I know you've been discussing the tragic death of Officer Hall, mm-hmm. would also like to just extend our deepest condolences
Absolutely.
To his family.
Indeed. Yeah.
But yeah, so this was really just the twilight zone, as Kahari typically explains it. And the narrative that has been pushed by the Westin Hotel, by the Detroit police, by the prosecutor's office, and even by the Detroit news outlet, which many of our local outlets then picked up,
right.
was proven to be really entirely false at this trial with Kahari last week. So mm-hmm. that's why it was so important that there was finally a day in court where all of this came out on the record. And not only did Kahari testify, it was five employees from the Westin Hotel, and their own testimony was very revelatory.
Mm-hmm. So, Kahari, let's talk about your case. You went
sure.
to trial. It was resolved last week. Was it 2 days of testimony?
No, it was a 4-day trial.
It was a 4-day trial. And the jury came back in 45 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we can read what we want into that. But what was your testimony? What did you say?
I just told the story about what happened. It was a story where I had a glass of wine at the hotel bar. Ironically enough, actually put that glass of wine on the room.
He charged the room. Now, let me just ask you a quick question. So there was no question at that moment whether or not you were a guest in the hotel.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And also contrary to reports from the police chief in Detroit and from the Detroit News, there was no hotel bar disturbance, which was, broadcasted over the news.
Mm-hmm.
That never happened. I just, calmly charged one glass of wine to my room. Went around the corner to the front desk, requested a room key, was told I wasn't registered to the hotel. Then I asked if I can get an escort to the room because I knew Chelsea was asleep at that time. They denied that. And then I asked if they could go up and knock while I waited. And I was a little irritated at this point, but, I was just trying to, get to the room.
Mm-hmm.
And they denied that. And they said, you're not a registered guest of this hotel. You have to find somewhere else in Detroit to stay. I'm sorry, but you have to leave. And only thing we can do at this point is call the police.
And I think it's important that all of that happened within about a minute and a half. So he is a guest. We checked in just, about 7 hours prior to that together mm-hmm. by their front desk. We were asked if we were together. We were issued two keys. The reservation was for two people. So there were so many ways for them to resolve it. But in the span of less than 2 minutes, less than about a minute and a half, he was told no and told to leave. And the video shows that he was being perfectly calm and really just the ineptitude of the hotel. And mm-hmm. what came out of trial is that no one was in charge. So
there wasn't a manager on duty or?
There was a manager on duty, but several of the witnesses from the hotel on the stand asked, who was in charge,
mm-hmm.
Given, the situation. Even the judge asked, this man is very adamant, knows all the information, knows whose name is on the room. The reservation is from two. They're both from out of town. And he's telling you in an adamant way that, help me get to my room. And you believe that, as one witness said, that thought I was homeless or a vagrant trying to get into the hotel. So they said no one thought to go up and knock, and they said, it just didn't occur to us because we just,
we just
considered
thought
him. He was a vagrant trying to get in. to the hotel. And one said, well, if he would have gave us identification, we would have known who he was. We would have been able to help him. But then the front clerk desk later in testimony said, of course we knew who he was. As soon as he came to the front desk, Mr. Mosley provided us his identification.
So just blatant inconsistencies in the court testimony.
Absolutely. And that's just the beginning of it. One of the most troubling aspects was the 911 call that was made, where the situation was misrepresented that I was endangering staff, I was endangering guests. I was just some random man in the hotel. Mr. Scott, the security officer, when he called the police, said that he feared for his life, in which the police asked if there was a weapon involved. And he said, well, I don't know, because he keeps reaching.
And then when the actual video was played, though, because they claimed to police that Kahari tried to hit them.
Okay.
And so the police are operating saying, well, you tried to hit him and you're going to be in big trouble. The video was played at court and it showed the opposite.
The
security chest bumping Kahari, squaring up against him as if they were, you know, the Notre Dame mascot and that kind of stance. And so then that officer was asked on the stand. He said, and Kahari's better to characterize this because I wasn't in the courtroom. I wasn't allowed to be
in the courtroom. Right.
But he was asked and he said, well, he tried to hit the security. And our attorney said to the officer, no, are you aware that it was actually the other way around? And here you have a jury that has just seen all of this. So they already know
what happened.
Right.
Hold that thought. We got to take a commercial break. I told you there was a lot you didn't know about this. You're listening to KDKA 1020. 18 minutes after 11 o'clock. Guess who's in the studio with me? Chelsea Wagner, Kahari Mosley, telling the story behind the story of, I'm going to call it your escapades in Detroit, because it almost reads like a made-for-TV movie or something.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to process that this all happened.
Right. It's, well, as Kahari always refers to it, it's Rod Sterling's The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to come back. Now, we were talking about kind of the hotel staff and what happened this actual night. When the security guards testified, did they know who you were?
Well, the first witness that was called to the stand by the prosecution, Mr. Scott, actually misidentified me when he was asked to identify me. That's kind of how the trial got underway. He actually pointed at my attorney, Kevin Mincy, who was wearing a gray suit. I was wearing a blue suit. He said, the gentleman in the gray suit.
But there's a major size difference between these two guys.
Uh-huh.
I mean, both the attorneys are, one's a former boxer, one's a former college baseball player. They're both about 6'4", 6'5", 250 pounds, whereas Kahari's more...
My 5'8", 175.
Yeah. So that set the tone.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of where the trial started. Now, the whole time, you're not allowed in the courtroom, Chelsea, during the testimony. And that's because of your own impending... Why were you not allowed in?
At every turn, the prosecution, I consider it part of trying to intimidate me. So the fact that I was not allowed to be in the courtroom to support my husband, we were able to have a lot of friends and family go so they could be there with them. But they had me in the hallway with the officer who threw me to the ground sitting across from me. And so to me, this was just par for the course. And in fact, as normally, even if you are sequestered, you are able to go in for closing arguments and hearing, you know, waiting for the jury to deliberate. The prosecutor opposed that as well. And the judge said to her on the record, trying to do this at this point is just, you're trying to punish her. So it was at least spoken to. But that's the same thing we've seen. Instead of being able to do different hearings by video, they've always tried to drag us there to Detroit, knowing the expense that it has, knowing the childcare, all of the things. And I mean, even earlier, one of the things many people don't know, when we went there in good faith for our arraignment, after these charges were filed, and now remember, the charges were filed the day after they received the letter from our attorney saying we were suing them.
So immediately after this incident, you were not charged. Neither one of you were charged.
Right. And Kahari was never arrested.
I was never arrested that night.
Right.
They took me in, but I think that was just to substantiate. You can't throw someone to the ground and then act like nothing happened. But that's a different part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you get to, when we went back there for our arraignment, arranged it for a Monday morning, so we go in, it's already agreed to between the attorneys, they threw us both in jail all day for about 12 hours, put us in cells. Now, those are the kind of things that would never, ever happen here in Pennsylvania. And I'm an attorney by background, and so I have just been flabbergasted at so many of the different things that go on in Michigan, and in Detroit, and how this has been pursued.
Now, talk to me a little bit about the media coverage. I mean, obviously, when it happened here in Pittsburgh, it was a huge story. Did Detroit approach it the same way?
Well, there's been, I can tell you, a lot of intentional misrepresentations coming specifically from a newspaper outlet called the Detroit News.
Mm-hmm.
And I have spent a lot of time back and forth calling their attention to material misrepresentations of fact, even things that came out in the courtroom. But going back to the first story, they put out a story that has been shown by the video to be false. In the story, they claim that Kahari was taken from the bar for being disruptive.
Right, which is what you just spoke to, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They claim that I went from giggling to screaming to cussing, things that are not supported at all in any video. So they were really accomplices, and it's there's a long record now to show it, of them trying to put out a story that was going to make Detroit save face. And even in the courtroom, the reporter for the Detroit News was observed turning around, referring to Kahari and saying he's going to learn his lesson for this. So I can say without any doubt and with lots of documentation that it was the most biased reporting I've ever seen. But then what became problematic is they accomplished their goal. So they put that story out there expecting that media outlets here would
pick
trust
it up.
Them as an AP source.
Right.
And in many cases, they did. So that kind of character assassination was able to just exponentially kind of disseminate.
Right.
And I also think a big part of it was the press conference that Detroit Police Chief James Craig held, where he made many misrepresentations. He was the first to go on record saying there was a video of me being escorted from the hotel bar for disturbance, where we now know that there was a disturbance in the hotel bar. It was a white gentleman about a half an hour before I went to the front desk to get the key, and that's substantiated in reports about the hotel staff. He also mentioned that I fell asleep in his press conference as well. But it really, the foundation of their story was always built upon this fabrication of me starting some disturbance in the hotel bar.
And they use that as the launch point for
right.
all of this.
And
hold that thought for just a sec. My guest today, Chelsea Wagner. Kahari Mosley in studio. We got 30 seconds before we break for the news. What's the one thing you want to make sure people know about what happened?
That we always wanted the truth to come out, you know, and we're not running from the truth. We're actually openly going out, letting people know what happened.
What happened, yeah. Chelsea, what's the one thing you want to make sure people know?
Well, I think it's to correct all of the character assassination that has gone on, because we really haven't been able to speak so much in the last 3 months because our attorneys basically instructed us to be quiet, to see if the prosecutor would perhaps proceed in better faith, if cooler heads would prevail. But that has allowed for a lot of really false stories to go out there maligning both of us. So
sure.
That's what I think we need to correct.
Yeah, for 3 months they controlled the narrative, but you get to correct it right here. It is 11:30. We'll take a break for the news. Come back more with Chelsea and Kahari, so stick around. In studio guest, Chelsea Wagner. Kahari Mosley, telling the story behind the story. I want to continue with the story, but I want to ask you a question, kind of related but not directly. You've got this thing hanging over your head. You are, in addition, an elected official. You've got two sons. How does that play out?
It's difficult. And especially, I think the kids have been one of the more difficult parts of this, because we always try to be very honest with them, age appropriate, but honest, and talk to them about different situations. So they've been very, very worried about this, to hear that, you know, their mom went to jail is confusing to them, no matter how much we try to talk. But That's been a hard part. They saw all of the bruises all over me. And our 10-year-old is old enough that he'll look some things up online.
Yeah.
So you have to have some candid conversations. But it's also been difficult because as an elected official, you know, I need to be able to be very forthcoming and speak to things, even things that are in my personal life. Yet I've had attorneys instruct me, as attorneys naturally do, that you can't speak to things because things will be basically minced and chomped up and used against you in a way that's uncharacteristic in a court proceeding, potentially.
Mm-hmm. How about for you?
You know, I can echo what Chelsea said. You know, it has been, you know, extremely difficult, you know, trying to explain, you know, complex, you know, concepts, you know, about perception, you know, about issues about race and, you know, and an issue that's come up with a lot of people, you know, the fact that the majority of the folks that were engaged with me in the evening, you know, were African-American men.
Mm-hmm.
So some people say, well, how can, you know,
how is race a factor?
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think it was more so how they perceived me and how they perceived to be the typical guest, you know, of the Weston Book Cadillac, you know, because even though, you know, Detroit is a majority African-American city, being that we've stayed in many, many hotels. Now in Detroit, obviously many of the patrons are not African-American that stay in the hotels, particularly a hotel of, you know, the rating of the Weston Book Cadillac, you know, a four-star hotel. You know, once, you know, the dispute began, you know, they, instead of, you know, thinking that, you know, maybe they omitted my name from the registry by accident, you know, they just quickly jumped to the conclusion that there's no way this guy can be a registered guest here, and began just to go down that line of thinking.
Because you look like a vagrant.
According to them. But most people didn't. You know, most people liked the outfit that I had on.
I was going to say, I saw the outfit. It did not look like something that...
I'm sorry. When he told me after about what the outfit cost, however, the judge did stop the witness when he claimed that he thought Kahari was a vagrant. And he pointed to the video and the judge said, hold up for a second. This man in that outfit, you thought he was a vagrant? So I think it spoke to the absurdity of these types of conclusions and misperceptions.
Indeed. So I think that a lot of people assumed that you would both accept some type of deal to make this go away.
Right.
But what I'm hearing from both of you is it was important for you to fight back.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot of that, you know, was forged during our experience and Chelsea's experiences at the Detroit Detention Center, where you got kind of a firsthand look at everything that's wrong with the criminal justice system in America, and got to spend some time around a lot of people who I feel were being taken advantage of because they were poor, because they didn't have the wherewithal, or they might have just had a bad break, you know, in life. I actually broke up a fight while I was in the bullpen between two young gentlemen arguing over religion. But it was really their frustration of being in there, and they had no way out, you know? So for me, as painful and stressful as it was, in many ways, it was very eye-opening and educational, and kind of forged kind of us to stand on our principles because we did have the wherewithal to fight. And this is how the system is supposed to work. You know, if you have, you know, police force that's not, you know, doing what they're supposed to do, a corporate citizen not doing what they're supposed to do, they shouldn't be able to just make a mistake and then try to assassinate someone's character and say, oh, that they were drunk and acting crazy, that's why this happened, not because of our incompetence as a corporation and our mishandling of a situation or poor decision making by folks in law enforcement, because that would be damaging to the city of Detroit. So it's a lot easier to take an out-of-town couple and try to malign them, intimidate them, and retaliate against them for doing what all Americans are supposed to be able to do, stand up for the rights and protect themselves.
So, Chelsea, do you think that when you look at now the fact that you're fighting back, your husband fought back and won, by the way, do they look at you differently?
I think our impression has been they're not used to seeing that. And it has certainly been very, very costly for us.
Oh,
and
I'm
so,
sure.
Yeah. Just the toll that it takes on people. And like Ahari said, we feel a certain responsibility because we have the wherewithal and the desire to fight this, both to clear our own names, but also to highlight some of the problems within their system. But you see that the expectation is that people just take pleas. One of the things that we overheard in the hallway, now, of course, Ghari was a misdemeanor trial. You don't mm-hmm. see trials often for
right.
misdemeanors, but I also don't think you see misdemeanors handed out like candy here in Pennsylvania as they are in Michigan, just like felonies. They have a whole different classification, categorization for felonies that is completely out of whack with what you see elsewhere.
Okay.
So I think it's a very, very punitive system. And what happens there, what shocked me, as Ghari talked about being put in jail, they are able to hold people in Michigan for up to 72 hours on innuendo and just false allegations. Many of these people we watch.
So no charges.
No charges. And then right at that expiration of 72 hours, those individuals, many of them are told no charges are being filed. However, you owe about $500 in old parking tickets and fines. And if you don't pay those, you stay in here. And then in the neighboring community, you owe more. They're going to come and get you. So it's really a debtor's prison that you see. But it's a system that I think is so, so deeply set up that isn't really serving justice. And I saw in the hallway, officers.
Hold that thought for just 1 second. Chelsea Wagner, Ghari Mosley joined me in the studio today. I just told them I could talk to them for the next 3 hours. But I want to speak, Chelsea, and I don't know, and let's be clear, because you have been exonerated, if you will, in this
right.
case. You still have a trial coming up. So there's some things that he can speak to that you can't.
Right.
So whoever can answer this, we had a listener call in and wanted to know why the door was propped open.
Yeah, sure. Right before I had my glass of wine, I called Chelsea and said, you know, can you leave the door prop? I'm going to have this quick glass of wine and I'll be right up.
Mm.
Not remembering that I also needed the key to get on the elevator. So I was expecting, you know,
to get in and
within the next
right.
10 to 12 minutes, yeah. be finished with, you know, my time at the bar and then be on the elevator and be in the room. But, you know, it definitely became much more than a slight detour. You know,
oh,
after
yeah.
I got on the elevator and hit the button and realized, wow, I needed the key to get up on the elevevator too. And that's when I made my way to the front desk.
That's when you went to the front desk and that's when it began.
And he was
to
going
spiral.
To be there moments later. You know, it was just quick stop down there for one nightcap. I was exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
The two of us, when we had all of those power outages here in Pittsburgh, we were out of our house for the whole prior week.
Okay.
So we went to this concert on a Tuesday. You know, it was kind of a once in a lifetime type show that we always wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I typically do that. If we stay in a hotel and we have two little kids, although they weren't with us on this trip, just, you know, to convenience, I'll put
that little
security
latch, thing.
Latch mm-hmm. on.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I have to ask you, what role do you think that race played in any of this, all of this?
Yeah, you know, again, I think it's, you know, perception. You know, I think there's a perception in the hotel community of downtown Detroit of, like, who are the kind of typical patrons of the nicer hotels. And I didn't fit that profile, you know, at 12:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their suspicions were up. And even though it was all primarily African Americans, other than the first gentleman, I think he was from Eastern Europe, who I interacted with at the front desk. You know, everybody else was African American, and the main police officer was African American. Though there was other officers that were not African American, but I think that it was a perception thing, where they thought, you know, I fit a certain profile, even though they were African American.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like they were in the Ku Klux Klan or anything. They would just. He doesn't fit the
he
profile
fit
of folks who are
here,
in these four-star
right.
hotels, so
mm-hmm.
we have to remove him so that we don't, you know, bother the sensibilities of the folks who fit the profile.
Wow. Chelsea, this is a long question, but we don't have time, a lot of time before we break for traffic. So talk to me. Bring me up to speed. So you notified them of your intent to sue.
Right.
Have you done that already? Has that process begun?
Well, no, because then what followed the next day were these charges. And
okay.
so we basically have to go through the process to have ourselves vindicated on this side of things.
Okay.
So, of course, Kahari was fully exonerated, vindicated. Now, we don't know if the prosecutor might decide to drop the charges. They could be dismissed in front of a judge for me, particularly because what came out during Kahari's trial is even more evidence that we see very clearly these charges should have never been filed. But now you have a false police report, false claims to the police.
Hold that list. Yes. Hold that list. Fortunately for us, Chelsea Wagner, her husband, Kahari Mosley, they're going to hang around and stay with us just after the news at noon. But I want you, you were kind of going through a list of inconsistencies and accuracies.
Right. So there were a number of things that came out at Kahari's trial and even in some of the preliminary proceedings that I've already had. Notably at Kahari's trial was the extent to which the hotel employees had falsified police reports, falsified statements to police. So that is now all on court record. But you also, if you look plainly at the video of the issue that is still kind of hanging over my head where the officer throws me to the ground, what's set on record by numerous individuals, including now these hotel employees who have basically impeached themselves on many different issues. They claim that I kind of fell, that he was trying to break my fall. Yet then he at one point claims that I kind of pinned him up against the elevator, which I jokingly say if I'm an Avenger superhero and I have a third arm that comes out of my back. But there are things that people can plainly see in video. And so as Kahari has frequently summarized, they've been trying to kind of push this narrative of saying, believe me and not your lying eyes. But fortunately, all of this is on video. And now you have a lot of inconsistencies now to compare to. So my hope would be that the prosecutor's office would look at some of the new information that has now been clearly documented by all witness testimony at Kahari's trial. But I certainly can't get in their mindset, and I think that's yet to be seen.
You never know for sure. We're going to take a break for the news. We're going to come back in just a few minutes, wrap it up with Chelsea Wagner, Kahari Mosley. So glad to have you guys in the studio today.
Thank you.
Lots of questions answered. We're coming up on 12 noon. It's time for the news.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.